Happy New Year. Really? Oh, you read that in the bulletin, did you? Happy New Year. Really? Well, I'm sure that by now, most of our New Year resolutions have either been forgotten or broken, if you're like me. I made it to the third. I did really well. Oh. But I'll try again next year with a new resolution. When you read the title of this morning's message, I wonder if you've ever asked the question. Now, I know you've wished people a Happy New Year, but what does that really mean? What does happy mean? Well, happy is defined as an adjective. It means to be pleased or a good feeling, showing or causing pleasure or satisfaction. Wow, now I know what happy is. So when we wish someone a Happy New Year, or they wish a Happy New Year to us, we are making the assumption that the New Year will be pleasureful or bring satisfaction. However, I've lived long enough to know that that is not always the case. And while there are many enjoyable moments in the New Year also brings with us its challenges, disappointments, and pain. But we as Christians can expect that in life. And the wonderful thing about us is that we're not alone in those trials, but our Lord is with us. I certainly do not want this New Year message to be a downer in any way. But I want to discuss with you some things that may be difficult. Now, you know that the last time I spoke to you in October, that afternoon I wound up in the hospital. Now, I've said that Satan really didn't like that sermon. Well, we're going to try it again. And hopefully, Doug won't be visiting me in the hospital. Hopefully. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. I have three scripture lessons for you this morning. The first one comes from Haggai. I don't know how many sermons you've heard from Haggai. Probably you could count them on one hand, but I remember one. I was a 13-year-old boy, and I've told this story. And in the first chapter of Haggai, the prophet says to the people, "You live in paneled homes." Now, that just struck me because that was in the late 60s, and everybody, at least where I lived in the Northeast, was on a paneling craze. In every room in their house, they were paneling. There was paneling everywhere. And at that particular time, my father was doing the dining room. And I thought, that scripture is for us today. I was only 13. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I thought, that word speaks to us just because of the word paneling, which simply means they finish their homes and not the temple. I later found that out. So Haggai has always been an important prophet to me, and I want to read to you from Haggai chapter 2, verses 1, and then verses 5 through 7. in the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord to the prophet Haggai. For this saith the Lord, of hosts. I'm having a terrible time seeing it. I don't know why. In a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will make all the nations shall come, and they will bring this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai. So what, Jim? Well, when you have a lot of time on your hands and you question a lot of things, the seventh month on the Jewish calendar is Tishriel. The 21st day of the month, that date corresponds to us as October the 6th, 2023. October the 6th, 2023. And then in verse 5, we read, in a little while, I am going to shake the earth and all the land and the sea and all the dry lands and the heaven. I'm going to shake it. Shaking the earth means God will bring judgment. In the Old Testament, whenever the earth is being shaken or wherever God is shaking anything, he's bringing judgment. And October the 7th of 2023, Hamas invaded Israel with the greatest invasion and murder of Jewish people since the Holocaust. Now, you can do that yourself. We used to have charts and things where we could do that, but now everything's on a computer. You can just look it up, corresponding date to the ancient calendar. I do that with dates sometimes. If that doesn't, that has great meaning. You see, nothing just happens. Doug and I believe there are no coincidences in this world. Things happen for a reason. Now, you'll say, but Haggai spoke to those people at that time. Really? Does the prophet just speak for one time in history? If that's true, then all of the prophecies of Isaiah that we promise a Messiah, that speak of the second coming of the Messiah, leave us somewhere in the dark. No. The prophecy is there for a reason. And you say, well, the prophecy said the 6th and the invasion was the 7th. Okay. Understanding that the Jewish day begins at sunset and goes to sunset. I don't know what time the prophet heard the message on the 6th. But I do know what happened on the 7th. Now some will say I'm making too much of this. that this speaks to Jerusalem, and this speaks to Jerusalem being invaded and all the rest. And, you know, it speaks of 70 AD and it speaks of 160 AD. However, when that happened, that only involved Rome. It didn't involve all the nations. Now we have all the nations. We didn't have that before. Another thing that happened after that particular time is the rise. Oh, God, help us. The rise of anti-Semitism, not only here, but around the world. We saw an ugly side to people that we have not seen ever. Ever. And the protesters and the marchers were not marching for Palestine. They were marching for Hamas. We are seeing things right before our eyes that we have never seen. Anti-Semitism is on a rise. We knew that it was out there, but never, never, never knew that millions upon millions of people, and you name the country, and I'll tell you what day the revolt took place. Now, we can just say, oh, well, that's just what happened. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that all of a sudden we have this anti-Semitism that begins around the world after this great attack, after this judgment has come. And let me tell you something, all the nations are going to be involved in one way or another. And they are now. And we'll discuss some of their foolish decrees. But I want you to understand that we're involved too. The second scripture reading I have is from Matthew 24. And you're, oh, I know Matthew 24. Well, let's read it just for fun. Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not. Be troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all are the beginning. And all are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall hate you for my name's sake. And this shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and many false prophets will rise and shall deceive many. But he that shall endure on to the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness in all the nations. And then the end shall come. And then the end shall come. Now, let me say that I am not attacking anyone's eschatology or beliefs of the end times. That's not my purpose. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I just want us to think a little bit outside of the box. Because the Lord in verse 4 and 5 tells us, be not deceived. And again, I'm not making any judgment. But I know there are a great many sermons and books that are written that keep telling us that the church and the Christians are going to all of a sudden be out of here and not be subject to any of the things that are going to go on. That's not what this says. I'm sorry, because then the next verses that we see talk about the tribulation. These things are going to happen before the tribulation. So, yeah, we'll be out of here before the tribulation, but it's not going to be an easy walk. And it's not going to be an easy ride, and your witness is going to be challenged, and the Lord tells us you will be taken because of my name's sake. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that we're the people who will defend Christ's namesake. It seems to me people who call themselves Christian are the ones that are going to be persecuted. The same people who protest against Israel and support Hamas and not Palestine are the same people who will protest against Christians. Can you prove that, Jim? Not today. It's coming. It's coming. 24% of the youth in America attend a church. Of the youth in America believe in God's supremacy. I'm just giving you the figures. I'm telling you where this can take place. Our universities have for generations now convinced everyone there is no God. Have convinced everyone that Israel has no standing. Has convinced everyone of terrible things. Has convinced everyone that you can do whatever you want to do. And we had a sermon the last time I was here. Christianity is not trendy, and it will never be. But now, God forbid, we have the Pope who has told his priests that they can bless, not perform, bless same-sex marriages. Blessing something is one step before it becomes a sacrament or they'll be included in the sacrament of marriage. I told you today that's going to happen. Now, if you don't think we're on a slippery slope, who is going to defend Israel? Not NATO. Not the United Nations. The United Nations, since October 7th, have published 5 decrees that have found Israel to be at fault. Israel's at fault. They are condemned by the United Nations. The only reason that it is not taking effect is because the United States refused to vote. But in my heart, that's half-hearted, in my belief. We are not spared from hate. Verse 9 tells us, they shall deliver you up and kill you for my name's sake. Verse 7, I'll get off on another subject here in Matthew. And I don't want to do that. But it says nation against nation. Christ says, and nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Does anybody know what that refers to? Kingdom against kingdom? We think, well, that's just a big nation or a group of nations. No. If we go down to 14, it tells us the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the kingdoms that are going to be at war is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Evil. Nation is going to rise up against nation, and the kingdom of this world, Satan, is going to rise up against God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Jesus told us the kingdom is at hand. Here. It's here. It's in us. Wow. Kingdom against kingdom. Attack, attack, attack. Well, I don't know who's going to defend Israel. Each of you this morning were given a pin. You still have it, or did you throw it away? All right, now you have to tell the truth. You have it? Jim threw it away. Oh, there's two Jims in a row. Uh-oh. I want to tell you something interesting about that pin. I had that pin made. I called every pin manufacturer I could find across the country. Nope. Don't make them. Never heard of it. We have the Israeli flag and the American flag. We have the Israeli flag and the United States. We have all kinds of flags. Finally, I found a company in Georgia that would manufacture. I said, will you make me a pin? Yeah, he said, I'll do it for you. No one has ever made a pin with the Israeli flag and the Christian flag, and I'm going to tell you why, because nobody believes that Christians will be the last ones in defense of Israel, and I'm telling you today, we will be. Period. I don't care if you don't agree. I'm right. Who else is going to do it? Who? Who else? So when you wear that pin, and I hope I still have some, I made another order. And if you've received one and would like more, I'll let you have more of them. For $3 a pin, and Judy isn't here, so she doesn't know how much I paid for them. Now you know. But if you'd want more, that's our testimony right there. That's our testimony. We are a part of the nation of Israel. We are sons and daughters. Paul tells us there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, Gentile. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to this little church, and I'm going to show you that. There's a poem that makes the point so well. It was written by a German Lutheran pastor, Martin Niemöller. You've probably heard it over time. First they came for the socialists. I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. And I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. What a powerful poem. That was his confession, really, of the results of World War II and what had happened there in Germany. Okay, we've gone through Matthew, and I didn't belabor the issue. You should all be proud of that. Well, you're all really happy about it, because he didn't get off on a tangent. The third scripture I have for you this morning is from Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it was in you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye may be and will do the things that we commanded you, and the Lord direct you. Direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting. Well, I want to summarize that for you. Now, this verse is really the sermon. You knew I'd get to it, right? This is the sermon. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Let me paraphrase some of that for us, and then I want to go verse by verse. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Pray for the delivery of the gospel. Paul begins his prayer praying, pray for the delivery of the gospel. Pray for the delivery of the gospel. You see, the purpose of our faith is that the gospel be delivered and given. It literally means to speed on. And we talk about the idea of the gospel being spread. We have to get the picture in our mind if we understand the Greek of a marathon runner. Running and running and running and running. Not a sprint where he runs and stops. A marathon, he runs and he runs and he runs, and the gospel continues to be spread. Pray for us, brothers, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. It has happened among you, among us, happened to us. The gospel message was proclaimed to us, and we are a different people because of it. And if you're not, please see me at the end of the message, and I'll be happy to explain the gospel to you and to emphasize your need for Jesus Christ in your life, that we might together understand how important that gospel message is. Understand Paul, who faced persecution. If you want to understand somebody who's faced persecution and trial, you read what Paul writes. Huh? I mean, Paul didn't have it very easy, did he? So when we want to know how we're to act when things aren't very good for us, we turn to Paul. Pray for the gospel, the speedy spread of the gospel. And that we, second verse, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all manner of faith. That we be delivered from evil and wicked men. How do we know who they are? Turn on the television. You want to see wicked and evil men? Turn on. See what's going on in the world. See what they want to teach children in schools. Evil and wicked. Evil and wicked. I thank God for clubs like the Good News Club in Towson and the other four or five. Spreading the gospel. Do you get the picture of the marathon runner? Taking that gospel to the children. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep us from evil and wicked men. They're all around us. Why? Who are these people? For not all have faith. They don't have faith. They don't have faith. It's right there. Paul said it. I didn't say it. Paul said it. He says a lot of good stuff. Paul said it. Let's go to verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He will guard you. Remember the battle of the kingdoms? The heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom that Satan wants to have war? God will guard us. He will guard us and keep us and establish us. Wow. That's our prayer. Paul says, pray for us. Pray that the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Guard you against the evil one. Where in the world did he come up with such an idea? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He keeps me from the evil one. Oh my. Oh my. That quiet confidence that God is at work. God is at work in us. We have a great work ahead of us. A great work. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to be tiresome, and it's going to be hard. But let me tell you something. It's going to get, I promise you one thing, it's going to get worse. Well, thanks a lot, Jim, for such an encouraging word. I believe it. We have to prepare ourselves. Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we commanded. We are confident. All those who have come before us are confident that we will continue to do what they have passed on to us. The gospel, the truth, the traditions, yes, they're important. Oh, if anybody's wondering, today is the first Sunday of Epiphany. I just thought I'd throw it out there. God will keep us. If we do the things which we have been commanded. 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 What a prayer. Verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. This really is my conclusion. verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to love, to the love of God, and to the steadfastness of Christ. Happy New Year. Really? Yes. Because the Lord will direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Oh, what a year this will be. Just imagine it. Just think of it. Here we are. Small group of people in Dover, Delaware. Hardly anybody knows we're here. We have been entrusted with this gospel. We have been surrounded by the protection of God. We are the ones who will follow the commands of God. We are the ones that will find strength. And we have God directing our hearts. My, what a new year we can have if our hearts are directed to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Happy New Year. Let us pray. Father, oh God, penetrate our hearts and minds. Let this be the day that we commit anew our efforts, our desires, our hopes. Father, may this be the day not only just of a new year on the calendar, but of a new year in our hearts and lives. Let this be the day, O God, that we are committed fully to you and to your kingdom, as only you can. In the name of Christ, I ask it humbly. Amen.